to do, I'm going to read you some quotes from different things I've read recently. And what I want you to do as I read these quotes is, as soon as you hear something unbiblical, okay, what I want you to do is raise your hand up and tell me we've heard something unbiblical. That would be universalism or pluralism, okay? And then we'll see where we're off base at, okay? Everybody got it? Yes? Yes? Okay, got it, okay. I'm first going to read from a Reverend Eugene Robinson. Somebody raise a hand. Tell me who Reverend Gene Robinson is. Who knows who this person is? Someone raise a hand and tell me. You know, Audrey?
Ordained homosexual.
Okay, he's an Episcopal priest. Okay, he's an ordained priest. He's now a bishop, and he's an open what?
Open
homosexual. Okay, out of New Hampshire. Okay, he spoke at the inauguration. Now, not the day of the inauguration. He spoke the weekend before at one of the events. They had a bunch of events that weekend. Okay, so I'm going to start reading from what he said that day. And as soon as you sense a problem, just raise a hand for me. Okay. Welcome to Washington. The fun is about to begin. But first, please join me in pausing for a moment to ask God's blessing upon our nation and our next president. O God of our many understandings. Okay, I'll stop that. All right, someone raise a hand. What did you hear that was a tad off base there? Someone raise a hand up in...
many understandings.
That's okay. You're helping me all the time. Someone over here, tell me what you hear.
Same thing, many understandings.
Okay, our God of our many understandings. What's the implication?
Ways.
Different ways.
Okay, so you understand him one way, I understand him another way, and we're all okay, is what it's saying. We're all equal, okay? Is that true?
No.
Not true at all. When you read the Quran, 99 times, there's 99 different names in the Quran for God. One of the names is not love. He's never mentioned as a loving God. Okay. So your understanding of God, just because you have an understanding of God, doesn't mean it's the correct understanding of God, right? It's our job to give you the correct understanding to do this, all right? So again, a universalistic thought. We're all okay. Stay on your path, and you'll be just fine. Now, not only is the issue with Gene Robinson the issue of his open homosexuality, he's got a partner he's living with. Anyone know how he got into that situation? Okay, he was married beforehand. Okay, divorced his wife, left his, I believe it's 3 children. Okay, to enter into that situation. So even if you want to twist the scriptures to say that's okay lifestyle, where do you find the scriptures that it was okay to leave your wife and your 3 children? You can't go there at all. Okay, so you see, there's a huge issue, a problem as you deal with this whole thing. Be very careful. Episcopal Church is splitting right down the middle. The Presbyterian Church is splitting right down the middle. I was thrown out of the Episcopal Conference 4 or 5 years ago in Cincinnati. The Archbishop of Canterbury came over. I was one of the speakers at it. And they gave me the heave-ho. 35 minutes into my talk, someone came over and said, "Why don't you tell everyone to stand up?" And they came. I said, "Yep." I said, "Everyone stand up for a stretch." He said, "Get off the stage in 2 minutes." Okay. And I was thrown out because they did not like what I said. Okay. That's okay. That means I must have said something good. Okay, they didn't like it. Okay. And when I asked later, I said, "Did I say anything unbiblical?" Of course not. Okay. But truth offends people. Okay. So our job to stand in the coming days of universalism, we must stand for what's true. Okay. At the inauguration, Rick Warren said the opening prayer at the inauguration. Okay. Quote. So when you hear something, raise a hand up. The scripture tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and the Lord is one. And you are the compassionate and merciful one. And you are loving to everyone you have made." What did you hear? Say that? Say that? Okay, now you heard, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Now, where do you find that in the scriptures? Anyone know? Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, okay, verses 4 through 9. And again, tell me what it's called, Kathy?
Shema.
Shema is how they pronounce it, okay? It's one of the highest pieces of scripture in all of the Torah, okay? It's a beautiful piece. Is it something they memorize all the time? What do you know about it?
Yes, and they put it in their mezuzahs on the doorposts. They have it rolled up inside.
Right. And the beginning opening up to is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." And then it goes into... to talk about the Lord as you walk by the way, when you rise up, when you sit us, when you lie us down. You're supposed to be talking about God how often with your children?
All the time.
All the time. That's exactly what it says. What does that tell your kids? This is important to mom and dad. If you only talk about it Sundays and Wednesdays and periodically, you know, or whatever, what does that tell the kids? It's not all that important. See, that's one of the real important parts of this, okay? But that's not what I wanted you to catch, okay? But hold that thought, because he's putting some Judaism into his prayer, okay? And then it says, and you are the compassionate and merciful one. Anyone heard that before? No one, sir? You've heard that? Where have you heard that?
I read it somewhere.
Okay. Anyone know where you find that at? Okay, that is a common phrase in Islam. Okay? They always refer to Allah as the compassionate and merciful one. You hear them repeat this over and over again. Now, someone told me that every surah in the Quran begins with the compassionate and merciful one, except one. Now, I have not verified that, but someone told me that, okay? So, at this point in the prayer, what has he now added to his prayer? He's added some Quran to his prayer. Okay, let's keep going. Let's get to the end of his prayer. And if you hear a problem, raise a hand up. I humbly ask this in the name of the one who changed my life, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, or Jesus. Okay, what did you hear back there?
Isa, that's Islam.
Okay, Isa, I-S-A, is the name for Jesus in Islam, right?
That's Arabic.
Okay, it's Arabic?
It's Arabic. It's not Islam, it's Arabic.
Well, okay, I'm saying for
you. Well, there is a difference.
Yes, there is.
Because in Arabic, they also add on to that. For those who know Jesus Christ, they still call him Esau, but it's Esau something, the Messiah.
Okay.
So it's added on. So.
Okay, and who is Isa to an Islamic person?
Well, that'd be Jesus.
Okay, it's Jesus, but who is Jesus?
A prophet.
A prophet of God.
Right.
Okay, do they consider him the Son of God?
No.
No. Do they believe in the Trinity?
No.
No. Do they believe he died on the cross?
No.
No. Do they believe he rose from the dead?
No.
No. Okay, so just because they use the name Jesus and we use the name Jesus, is it the same Jesus?
No.
Same word, different definition. That's why it's very important when someone knocks on your door and they have little plate on there with a name on your door, and that's going to be who?
Witness.
No, they have a plate with their name, it's going to be who?
Mormons.
It's going to be Mormons, okay? By the way, who is Jesus to you? They believe Jesus and Lucifer are spirit brothers, okay? All right, created beings, okay? That's the same name, different definition. A Jehovah's Witness believes that Jesus is the Archangel Michael, okay? Same name, different definition, okay? But when he used Isa here, he was now putting Muslims underneath in his prayer here, okay? Jesus, which is the Spanish name for Jesus, and as soon as you start talking Hispanic, where do most Hispanics fall when it comes to religious faith? Catholicism, okay, which again is a different Jesus, okay? I spent 26 years in Catholicism, okay? And then Jesus, who taught us to pray, then he went into the Lord's Prayer. What he was doing in his prayer was including Judaism, Catholicism, Islam, and Christianity in his prayer, okay? That's called what? That's universalism. Be very careful. I will tell you, be very, very careful of Rick Warren in the coming days. He has been off base on numerous things, okay? Now, he's also been on base on numerous things, okay? That's not what you judge it by. I don't care how many times you're on base. If you're off base, that will pull you away from the truth. Always remember, the hardest lie to detect is the one that's the closest to the what?
Truth.
Always remember that, okay? If you were going from Los Angeles to Hawaii in a boat, and you started 1 degree off out of LA, 1 degree off, and you're trying to get to Hawaii, would you get to Hawaii?
Nope.
Not only would you not get to Hawaii, you wouldn't even be what?
Close.
You wouldn't even be close. Okay? Be very careful. Okay? And this one thing I want to tell you. In the coming days, okay, when you hear religious folk, okay, what we typically do with religious people is we take our guard and we put our guard down. Okay? Absolutely not. With religious folk, you put your guard up. And you put it up high. And you make sure a guest speaker that walks into your church and preaches knows the gospel and preaches biblical truth. And you test that through what? The book. You filter it through the book. And you make sure that it comes through this book and he answers to this book. And then we as speakers or writers, if we're with this book, okay, and if we make a mistake, you pray for us, but you contact us and let's say, hey, I think you might be off here, okay? And check this. Yeah, walk up after a talk and say so, okay? And do that, okay? I had a personal friend... write Rick Warren, he did not like something he was writing about Rick Warren. He wrote Rick Warren back. Okay, and said, just explain these basic things for me here and do this to see if I'm off base. And Rick would not write him back. Okay, Rick already emailed him, but then he wouldn't respond to the email the guy sent. Pretty simple email, I thought, okay. But if we keep coming off base, then you pray for us and get as far away from that person, including me, as you possibly can. Okay, because that's the danger of the end times. You think you're going to trust people, and religious people will pull you quicker away than a lost person will. The Bible says in Matthew 24, watch out for false Christs and false prophets. Those are false religious people. All right? They're more dangerous than non-religious people because your assumptions are going to speak truth to you. I can send my kid to a Christian college. They'll be fine. No. Guards up. Make them prove that point and do that. Okay? Give you a couple other ones. This one's from Barack Obama, 2004. Was an interview in the Chicago Sun-Times by the religious editor Kathleen Falsani for her book, The God Factor. So this is actually in a book out there. Barack said, quote, "I'm rooted in the Christian tradition," said Obama. "I believe there are many paths to the same place and that there is a higher power, a belief that we are connected as a people." What was the problem?
Well, when he said that, there was many paths.
Many paths to the same place, okay? You're going to keep hearing it. I think you're going to hear this more and more in the coming days as we have a blending together of religious faiths to come under a one-world religious system, okay, led by a false prophet, which, again, I think the Antichrist and them are going to pop up and do that. This is what you've got to be. Every antenna should go off when this begins to happen, okay, and say, false, raise a hand up, say something about that. But see, because if we're just wimps as we live this for Jesus Christ, President Gerald Ford died a couple years ago. At his funeral in Washington, D.C., an Episcopal priest got up there and was reading from the book of the Gospel of John. He read John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He got to 6 and he said, "And Jesus saith unto them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." He stopped, he hesitated, and went on with his talk. Okay. Did he forget anything? What?
No man comes unto the Father.
The exclusive clause. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, now, when that occurred in there, all right, did anyone respond? Did anybody raise a hand up? Did anybody walk forward and say, "Excuse me, could you just repeat verse 6 again one more time? I didn't quite get that." Did anyone do that at the funeral? Were there Christians at the funeral? The president at the time, George W. Bush, claims to be a Christian. He was there. Okay? What were all the Christians doing? So what you're saying then, okay, is that if someone mocks your God, if you mock his scriptures, you mock our God. Okay? And that's okay with us? Let me ask you a question. If someone would have raised a hand up and stood up and responded and said something, do you think that would have quite possibly been on maybe one newscast or more that evening? Oh, man, they would have mocked that person to shreds, okay? But yet, that's what we need to hear. Who's got enough guts to say so? I was on the internet watching, I don't have a TV plugged in, and so I watched clips off the internet, and I was watching Rick Warren on Hannity and Combs. And Hannity and Combs, and Alan Combs, a Jewish gentleman, did you see this clip? Y'all saw this clip? You saw it? And he asked him, "Rick, I'm a Jewish man, okay? Am I dying and going to hell because I'm a Jew?" Okay? Did you see the clip? Do you remember his response?
"Jesus was a Jew."
Well, that's actually a good comeback talking to a Jew. Jesus was Jewish. A lot of Jews don't know that as well. But Rick Warren said, "Try Jesus for 60 days. Try it for 60 days and see if there is not a difference in your life." Okay? See, that is the whole mindset of accept Jesus Christ for a better life mentality. But 2 Timothy 3 says those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay? What do you mean, try it for a better life? And just to tell you how bad that was, Sean Hannity, who's a Roman Catholic, looked over and said, "Well, do I get a rebate back after 60 days? You know, do I get my money back?" Okay, what a horrendous response to that statement. Because one of the problems is, and always remember this, I've done television, I've done radio and stuff like that. Okay, be careful. If you ever get to do anything like that, okay, you never ever go into one of those situations or even one-on-one talking to people. Okay, wanting to be invited back. Because if you go in there wanting to be invited back, you'll compromise while you're on the show. Okay? Your job is to speak truth and truth alone. But speak truth in what? Love. Okay? If they invite you back, great. If they don't, great. Either way, you spoke the truth, right? John MacArthur gets invited all the time on Larry King Live. And John MacArthur doesn't budge. He just lays it flat out straight, okay? They appreciate it. They like it because they know it's true. And they know they can stir up a good controversy on the show when someone just won't budge off Jesus being the only way, okay? MacArthur gets invited back all the time, okay? And he is rock solid in what he believes, okay? Go to Deuteronomy 13, Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 13. I'm going to go Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5. Fascinating piece of scripture. Is Deuteronomy important?
Yes.
When Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan, Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is, when he's tempted by Satan, he responds three different times to Satan. Every single time it's a direct quote out of scripture. And every single time he's quoting what book of the Bible?
Deuteronomy.
Okay? It's simple to me. If Deuteronomy is good enough for Jesus Christ, Deuteronomy is good enough for us as well. Okay? Don't be what I call a New Testament Christian. Okay? Great Bible believing Christian. It's the whole book, folks. Okay? So we got to know the whole thing because the whole Testament is pointing towards the New Testament. Okay? And we got to know this. Okay? Where did we stop at last time?
I was the last one.
Okay, next up, last one right there. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1.
If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder.
Okay, sign or wonder, a miracle. If a prophet, a speaker of God, does that. Okay, go to verse 2.
And if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them.
Okay. The miracle was prophesied. It's going to happen. The miracle came what? True. It happened. Okay. And then he speaks and says, let us go after another god besides the God that you were taught to believe in. Okay. Watch where this goes. 3.
You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Wow, this is heavy. Because God tells you in the New Testament to examine yourself, test yourself anyways. All right? So if you're testing yourself anyways, when all of a sudden God brings a test to you through a miraculous sign, how many people are looking for signs and wonders in the coming days? Okay? Don't look for signs and wonders in the coming days. Because the Bible says in the end of days there'll be lying signs and wonders in the coming days. The false prophet will do miraculous things. The Antichrist will do miraculous things. But if you don't know how to properly test, okay, a miraculous sign, okay, then you're going to have all kinds of trouble. You'll be pulled away from the truth and do that. All right? Verse 4.
You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him.
And verse 5.
That prophet or dreamer must be put to death because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. He has tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you.
When you see a miracle occur, that's something supernatural that cannot be explained in a natural sense, okay? Your next question has to be, what is the power source behind that miracle, okay? Because, and we know from the plagues of Egypt, that, for instance, when Moses threw the staff down, that exact same miracle was copied by who?
Sorcerers.
The sorcerers, the magicians, the exact same miracle occurred. But what was the source of power behind that one? It was actually Satan behind that one, okay? So you have to test all the miracles that you to see where they're going to push you and pull you to, all right? So be very careful in the coming days of miraculous things, okay, that you can't explain, okay? But you can really find out by where, what God they're going to push you to, saying this is the power source behind that. That's how you know, okay? That's why you want to be very, very careful in the coming days. I was telling the folks last night in Dallas a few years ago, a Hindu temple, they put cows and they worship cows over there because they will not kill animals because of reincarnation. It can be grandma, so they won't kill a cow. They won't kill rats over there and stuff like that. Rats destroy a third to a fourth of all the wheat crops over there and stuff like that. And they don't have enough food for the people, but they won't kill the rats because of reincarnation, and they think they're killing a relative and stuff like that, okay? It's fascinating to think about how your worldview does impact how you live and stuff like that, all right? In Dallas, they built this big temple, and people would walk up with plates of milk and put it underneath the nose and the mouth of the cow. And all of a sudden, the milk would all be gone. Someone would put up and it'd all be sucked up inside the cow. It'd all be gone. Everyone kept doing up there and doing it. Okay? I'm telling you, folks, I think it was a miracle. I really do. But I know the power source behind it was who? It was Lucifer all the way. And do that, okay? You heard of Todd Bentley, the Lakeland outpouring, the Florida outpouring in Florida a couple of months ago. There was this big thing where people go into Lakeland for all these miraculous healings and all this miraculous stuff, okay? It got to be a big thing. People emailed my ministry about it. What do you think about it? Stuff like that. So I got on the internet, okay? In 30 minutes on the internet, looking at video clips of this guy, you could pick out false teaching after false teaching after false teaching. I wasn't concerned about the miracles because the miracle may come true. Which God is he pushing you towards, though, in his belief system, okay? So I wrote a newsletter on it last year. I can't remember what month it was last year. I got that and one other one I wrote. I got more negative emails from people about that. How can you judge somebody? Well, because the Bible says to judge people. Read Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. Read the whole section. It says you're supposed to judge. Just make sure you take the beam out of your eye, so you judge righteously and correctly by the scriptures. You're supposed to judge. We judge all the time. Okay, I'm supposed to correctly judge what I'm supposed to do, okay? How can you judge this man? You haven't been there. You haven't experienced that. Wait a minute, I don't have to experience everything to judge if it's right or wrong. What are you talking about? Okay? I don't have to experience drunkenness to tell you that it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong, okay? You don't have to go there and do that. All these negative emails. In 2 months, what happened? Whole thing went under. Whole ministry went under, man. Okay? Then something came out, things began, and boom, the whole thing was gone. Okay? It took 30 minutes, okay? Because some people got caught up in the miraculous and stuff like that. They missed the teaching that was behind it. Okay? I watched it one night, a four-hour thing he did one night on the internet. And he even said during the thing I watched, because I said, one of the critiques, I said, he never uses the Bible. He never uses the Word of God. That's a dead giveaway when they do that, okay? He even said during it, okay, that he was getting critiqued that he never uses the Bible, okay? He even said that during it, all right? So during the four-hour service, he used 6 verses during the four-hour service, okay? The Bible's open for, I think, 12 minutes during the four-hour service, okay? Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. So just because a president uses scripture verses in an inaugural address, any president, that doesn't mean they're Christians, okay? It doesn't. That means they just use scripture. We got to be better discerners in the coming days and do that, okay? Raise a hand up when you hear something. Pope John Paul II, from September 1998, an interview that's on the Vatican website, quote, "It will be in the sincere practice of what is good in their own religious traditions and by following the dictates of their own conscience that the members of other religions respond positively to God's invitation and receive salvation in Jesus Christ even while they do not recognize or acknowledge him as their Savior." Would you?
Anybody, it doesn't matter how they understand their religion, what religion they belong to, will receive salvation from properly understanding their own.
Right. I have a talk on my website called Roman Catholicism versus the Bible, and I looked at the Catholic Catechism and compared it to Scripture. Catechism, Scripture, Catechism, Scripture. We filmed it. We'll have it on DVD. I don't have it out yet. But we're getting fascinating feedback on it. But a guy had a Roman Catholic lady listen to it, and she emailed him, and he forwarded the email, and the lady said, "I can't believe that I've been teaching my kids all this stuff that is not in the Bible." Well, I was Roman Catholic. And the reason I would have said the exact same thing was because I never read the Bible, so I wouldn't know whether it was biblical or not. I wouldn't have a clue, okay, because we just weren't taught to read that as a kid and do that, okay? But again, all falling universal under the same umbrella and do that, okay? How many people in here have read the book The Shack? Okay. Only two of us? Okay, how many people have heard of the book The Shack? Okay, it's probably the best-selling book in Christianity right now, okay? This is a quote from the book The Shack. When you hear something, raise a hand. Those who love me come from every stream that exists. They were Buddhists or Mormons, Baptists or Muslims, Democrats, Republicans, many who don't vote or not part of any Sunday morning religious institution. Mac asked for clarification. Does that mean that all roads will lead to you? Not at all, smiled Jesus. Most roads don't lead anywhere. What it does mean is that I will travel any road to find you. Okay, what'd you do?
That most roads won't lead anywhere.
That most roads won't lead anywhere. Folks, every road leads somewhere. Yeah. It either leads to heaven or it leads to what? Hell. It's not an anywhere road, okay? Every road, every religious road leads somewhere, okay? Again, it just wasn't very clear in what he was saying there, all right? Jesus says to Mac, quote, I'm the best way. Any human can relate to Papa or Sarayu. What's that? I'm the only way. What do you mean you're the best way? See, by saying the word best way, he's implying what? There's others' way. That's exactly what he's implying. See, what you don't know about the author of this book, Paul Young, is Paul Young is a universal reconciliationist. He believes that all people will be saved when it's said and done. Okay? Now, he's currently denying that, all right? But he has publicly said he's a universal reconciliationist. One of his theological buddies, Mr. D. Young, a friend of his, has publicly come out and said that Paul Young is a universal reconciliation. They've been discussing theology for years and stuff. Okay, the author of the book, Paul Young, has publicly said that his editor took out all the universal reconciliation's teachings in the book, took it out of the manuscript. Well, now, wait a minute. What was it
doing in there
to begin with? Okay, and he didn't get it all out because there's places in there that have all kinds of problems in this book. Okay, what was in there in the first place? Okay, how many people know who the book was originally written to? It was never meant to be published. He never had any intention of publishing this book. Who knows who it was written to? It was written to his children. It was only for his kids. Okay, that leaves open another big question. Why would you write something to your kids that implied or said that there's many different ways to get to heaven? Okay. If you ever study his life, if I have this correct, he had a very, very, very bad experience in Christianity as a missionary kid. Okay, something happened, I believe it was molestation, okay, at a school he was at in another country, and it has sent him in a wrong direction. Okay, this book is very far off base. Okay, we had a lady last night that was sitting on the front, we were talking about this, and she was reading the book of The Shack with a friend of hers, and she invited her to church. And the preacher said something from the pulpit. She looked at her friend and said, that's not what the book The Shack says. And the girl said, last night, it was fascinating, listen to this girl. She said what she realized was her friend was taking the book The Shack and using that as her what? As her filter, right, for what is truth or not. And the girl said immediately she put the book down herself and wouldn't read any more of that book. Okay, that's not our filter, folks. This is our filter right here. I listened to a DVD on a guy who read The Shack, and he went to interview Paul Young, and he interviewed him about his belief system and stuff, and then he went and saw him speak three different occasions. Every single time he heard Paul Young speak, Paul Young mentioned the femaleness of God. The femaleness of God. That's dangerous in a world, okay, that is moving towards goddess worship. Okay? How does he portray God in the book? As a female, okay, as a black female, okay, very careful. When weathermen want to talk about stuff that happens in our world around us weather-wise, they call it what? Mother Nature. There's already a name for it in the New Age, but what's the name of the goddess? Know her name? Gaia. G-A-I-A, Gaia. Okay, so we're heading down that road anyways. Okay, we live in dangerous times, and we as Christians have to stand so far against the universalistic teachings so they know what the real truth is, and it's only Jesus Christ in doing that. Okay, give you one or two more, then we'll be done. President Bush, Cynthia McFadden, this was on television. Okay. She asked President Bush if the Bible was literally true. Here's his response, quote, you know, probably not. Okay. Don't beat around the bush, President Bush. This is what he says. No, I'm not a literalist, but I think you can learn a lot from it. But I do think that the New Testament, for example, has got, you know, the important lesson is God sent a son. Okay? Now, when people tell you they don't believe the Bible is literally true, okay, what the inference is to them, for most people that you talk to, is they're going to tell you one of the books in the Bible. What book isn't true?
Genesis.
Okay? Because if Genesis isn't true, folks, then why would you believe the miracles of the getting out of the Exodus and stuff like that? Why would you believe the walls falling down in Jericho? Why would you believe a resurrection of Jesus Christ? Okay? See, it's a direct attack of the book of Genesis. Every doctrine of the Bible is found in the book of Genesis. The doctrine of grace, the doctrine of forgiveness, the doctrine of sacrifice. It's all found there. If Genesis isn't true, the foundation is destroyed. The book's not true, okay? Answers in Genesis, the group out of Cincinnati, is a wonderful ministry. I was there speaking last week, and just great. The president also said, quote, that he prays to the same God as those with different religious beliefs. Quote, I do believe there is an Almighty that is broad and big enough and loving enough that it can encompass a lot of people. See the problem there? Huge problem there. See, many people said President Bush, when he was going through his years of office, wouldn't be boldly standing for Jesus Christ because he's being political. Okay, this is in the last 2 weeks of his administration. Folks, when you got a month to go, you can say anything you want to. The election's over, Barack's coming in, you can say anything. You can offend the whole country if you feel like it. You told everybody you believe Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. He didn't do it. Okay, I think that says something about really what he believes and does it. Okay? That's why you watch people over time. We can all be wrong on a statement, but you got to watch people over time and do that. Okay, Billy Graham. 1987, McCall's magazine, quote, I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God. Okay? If you ever study Billy Graham has not one quote, not two, numerous quotes where he implies there's more than one way to get to heaven. He's been doing it for years. Okay? If you doubt that, get on YouTube and look up Billy Graham quotes on YouTube. There's someone put together like a 10-minute video of all these different times he said these different statements about many ways to get to heaven. Look up Billy Graham and Robert Schuller on YouTube. He's a fascinating encounter between these two on Muslims also going to heaven and doing this, okay? Now, I'm not saying Billy Graham's not saved. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is what you have to be careful of is compromise, okay? We are not to fit into this world. Okay, we are the world changers. We're the difference makers, all right? Either it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, or it's not. Yeah. And if it's not to you, put your Bible back on the shelf and go find your answer. Okay, but if you truly believe this, and what I tell you all the other day at church, and I think I said it earlier tonight, but if Jesus Christ isn't worth dying for, he's not worth what? Yeah. Living for. Okay, you've got to find if this is the right answer and the only answer, okay? Because what happens as soon as you do that, what you're going to end up walking away from is the Bible. You heard of the emergent church, okay? This whole emergent movement, it is getting dangerous. One of the big speakers for the emergent movement is somebody named Phyllis Tickler. She wrote a book called The Great Emergence. Watch what she said. Quote, tell me when you got a problem here. The new Christianity of the Great Emergence must discover some authority base or delivery system and or governing agency of its own. It must formulate, and soon, something other than Luther's sola scriptura, which although used so well by the Great Reformation originally, is now seen as hopelessly outmoded or insufficient. Did you hear that? What did you hear?
And it started saying it must discover something else.
Besides scripture alone. See, it's always attack on scriptural authority is what it comes back to. Okay, it's always going to be a knock at scripture. And you have got to find out whether scripture is true or not. And once the scripture is true, I can put my whole life upon it and bank upon it. Okay, but that's what you have to decide. And your whole life is really coming down to this book. This book is true or it's not true. If it's true, it's worth living for. And if it's not true, put it on the shelf. Go find the right answer. Okay, go to Galatians 1 and we'll close it for you. Okay? Go to Galatians 1. Now, you folks at church, I preached out of Galatians 1, did I not?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. What's that?
Yes.
Yeah, verse 10. But the verses before it are fascinating. Okay. I just skipped it, I didn't have time to do that, okay? I did not get to, in your chapter, remember, you're going to deal with the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as you deal with this mandate for the nation, okay, the uniqueness of Christ. Remember, there's good stuff, we do it in one of my books, but there's good stuff in this chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith is in vain, you've wasted your life. Okay, don't tell me you lived a good life and it might work if there's a good versus bad judgment. Paul said, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith is in vain. You have believed in Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, a fairy tale. Let's just get down bottom line to it. If he did rise from the dead and he's the Son of God, you've got the only answer for this world. You've got it, you've got it, you've got it. You've got to give it away to somebody, okay? The tomb's empty, folks. Once you know the tomb's empty, you've got your answer as you walk through life, okay? And let's go to Galatians 1 here, and we'll close it for you, okay? Galatians 1, I'm going to go 6, 7, 8, and 9. Where do we stop at? We stopped over there. Let's go right back over here. Go to 6.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Okay, so what's the implication? Is there's also what? Another what?
They're following another way.
They're following another way. What's the word gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. So there's going to be a false good news given to people. Isn't that the New Age movement? That's the New Age movement. It's a false good. Oprah Winfrey, a false good news she gives to people all the time, okay? It sounds good. It feels good. It will not work the day you take your last breath. It's a false good news, okay? Watch what happens. 7.
But it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ.
Wow. Deliberately pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, you only need to add one thing to it to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher say one day, he said, Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Jesus plus anything equals damnation. Interesting statement. Jesus plus nothing, Christ and Christ alone. Thief on the cross, never got baptized, never went to a Catholic mass, a Baptist church, never set one foot in any prospective class in his entire life. When he said, would you remember you coming to your kingdom? And he said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Okay, because he trusted Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You add one thing to that. Okay, Jesus plus you must go on a 2-year mission trip. Jesus plus you must not do caffeine. Jesus plus you must do this. That's one of their teachings as well. Jesus plus anything equals damn. Be careful. It's Christ and Christ alone. And that's it, okay? Perverting deliberately. Go to verse 8.
But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed.
Accursed. Who's got a different...
Eternally
what?
Condemned.
Eternally condemned. You see that? If anybody, even an angel, Paul says, I taught you one way, okay? If anybody crosses your path, anybody, a human being or a what? An angel crosses you and gives you something different, you go with what you were taught and you know to be true. Now, we know what's true in our age. We got this book to test what's true, correct? We got the Bible to test it. Even an angel, what did Joseph Smith say? He's out praying one day, and an angel of what? Light appeared to him. You ever heard of an angel of a light before? 2 Corinthians 11, another name for who?
Satan,
Lucifer. Muhammad said he went up to the caves above Mecca to pray, and as he was praying, an angel of what? Light appeared to him. Okay? Be very careful of the Marian movement. Mary. The apparitions of Mary that are happening all across the world. All right? And it's not just a Catholic thing. Mary is accepted in the Protestant movement, the Catholic movement. She's accepted in Islam. She's called sinless Jesus is called sinless in the Quran, but she's called the Mother of God. Okay, one of the greatest apparitions ever of the apparition of Mary happened above a mosque in Cairo, Egypt. Over a 2-week period, she would appear up in the sky up there. And they used to call this beautiful angel of light. When you study what Mary says, she refers to as a mediator, as a redeemer, an advocate and a redeemer, a co-redemptrix for our sins. Redeemer, advocate, mediator are only used for who in the Bible?
Jesus
Christ. Total, utter deception. in the coming days, eternally condemned. And if you didn't get it the first time Paul said it, read verse 9.
As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
And I'll tell you what.
Amen.
He repeated it twice, okay? You better not miss what he said. It's our job to preach the gospel. To preach what, though? The true gospel. And what's the implication at the end of days? Universalism, pluralism, tolerance. False gospels everywhere. That's okay. People are looking for truth. We've got it, right? We've got to give it to them, okay? Mandate for all the nations. We've got to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all the nations. But remember this, okay? You really have no right to share your faith in other nations if you don't share your faith where you're at right now. America needs a good dose of Jesus Christ. And that comes from regular people. Regular people, fishermen, farmers, tax collectors, students, men, women, parents, okay? Teachers, speakers, all the rest. And this country needs the true gospel. The false gospel is everywhere. Okay, we need to let our light shine. Let it shine bright. Okay, but light only shines in what?
Darkness.
Get out of your comfort zones. Okay. Get out of your churches. Get out of your small groups. Get out of your perspective classes. Start walking into darkness. Your workplace, the bar section of town, a mall, the beaches when it warms up, wherever people hang out at. Okay, get out there and let your light shine. Okay, America's in serious trouble. And the reason America's in trouble is not lost people. They're in trouble because of saved people. We've not done what we've been called to do. It's our job to impact our culture. It's our job to make a difference. Okay, today's a new day. If you haven't been bold as you want to, we're just repent of that today. Let's get back on track. Don't learn all this good information, this perspective class, and keep it to yourself. Okay? As I told the church yesterday, you have no right to go to heaven by yourself. None. I don't save a soul. That's his job. Okay, it's my job to plant seeds and water seeds. Okay, as we said the other day, we need to make him well known, and we need to make him what?
Look good.
Let's make him well known. Okay, let's make him well known. Tell everybody we know about Jesus Christ. Okay, let's make him look good and act like men and women God are supposed to act. Take your last breath and get out of this crazy place. Okay, and get where we want to be at. You want to be with Jesus Christ? You want to be with him? A lot better than this place. Okay, but we have a job to do while we're here. Okay, let's do that job. Father, thank you for just being a wonderful God that we can serve. Thank you for leaving us truth and evidence, Father God, that we can not just, you know, just be floundering down with every wind of doctrine as we miss that verse in Ephesians 4, but you give us truth. Father, we thank you for being alive at this time. Ooh, it's going to be wacky down here, man. It's going to be fun. But that also means, Father, that you're going to raise up boldly by your Holy Spirit some powerful, powerful men and women, young people in the coming days, Father God. I thank you so much for that. Father, raise up some just good warriors as young people, like Faith and Grace and Jordan and Simeon, Father God. Raise up young people, teenagers that just love you, Father God, that don't care about what the world thinks, but they care what you think about them, Father God. But let them see adults, their parents and other adults, men and women, finishing the race well. Finishing well, Father God, that we're making you look good and well-known and blessing people and speaking truth and giving the true gospel to a country that so desperately needs it. Father God, thanks for the perseverance of these people in this class. I thanks for the commitment they've made. Father, let it be an enjoyable experience with all the work they're doing to put into this 16 weeks, Father God. But then take out of what they learn, Father God, to walk into people's lives and give them that truth. Father, I just ask that for every one of us in this room, including myself, divine appointment, at least one in the next 24 hours. Divine appointment, so we're supposed to share the gospel. We can't miss it, Father God. Even if we walk past it, you make us walk back, or that person come to us, Father God. We walk into it, we open our mouths, we remember, Father, we don't have to have perfect words. We serve a perfect God. That's who we serve, and you change hearts, not me, Father God. Let us be faithful men and women of God all the days of our life. We thank you for it, Father. We ask this all in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.